Welcome to Janya. I know now you've joined the phone bridge.
Hi, Gisela. This is an audio test. Do you hear me? Tijani speaking.
Tijani, I hear you loud and clear, and I'll just let the interpreters confirm that they hear you loud and clear as well. Very good audio, I'm told, which is great news. And as I previously stated, if anyone would like to do a quick audio test, if I may remind everyone that we do have French, Spanish, and Russian interpretation this evening, this morning, or this afternoon, wherever you may be. And it is very important for them to have a clear audio to allow them to actually interpret you on the other channels. So if anyone has any doubt, please speak up now. Thank you very much.
Olivier Crépin-Leblanc. Hello? Olivier Crépin-Leblanc.
Joined.
Welcome, Olivier.
Bonjour. Hello.
Bonsoir.
It's the first time the operator asked me whether I should be sent to the French channel or the English channel. I must sound very French today.
Oh, dear. Oh, this doesn't mood well. He's sounding very French.
This is just a scandal.
Oui.
Welcome to all those who have joined the call. We have another 6 minutes to go before the top of the hour. As we have French, Spanish, and Russian interpretation on this call, if anyone has any doubts about their audio and wishes to speak up during the call, please feel free to do an audio test.
Silvia Vivanco.
Joined.
If you don't...
Daniel.
Welcome, Daniel. Welcome, Sylvia. If you don't have a good audio, we won't be able to interpret you on the other language channels. Thank you.
Daniel.
Joined.
Holly Rafe.
Joined.
Welcome. Welcome, welcome to all those who are joining. Holly, would you like to do a quick audio test? Sometimes we hear you quite faintly.
Come on, Holly, speak up. Let's know we can hear you, and even if you're only just having your coffee.
No. I'm just having a little snap.
Holly, why I ask that is you are usually very faint, and the Spanish, French, and Russian interpreters, to allow them to be able to interpret you on the other language channel.
Okay, I'll talk.
I have no doubt you will be speaking today. I'll just check that everyone could hear you.
I'm not sure how to take that, mate.
Firmly waiting for the Australian interpreters.
Oh, look, they're very hard to find, Australian interpreters. They're a rare bunch. many years of training to manage to do Australian interpretation. And you have to live here, too, so, you know.
has it ever been tried with, you know, having Australian interpreters and having an Australian channel? Because I think it might be quite interesting.
Sure, no, stop and talk about. I mean, really.
Exactly.
Should we wish to, but most of us manage to articulate until we get very deep in our cups and very late at night.
No, but I was thinking the other way around, though.
Joined.
Quite funny in the other way around, having the whatever is said being translated in Australian or
into full blown. The worst of all Australian. There are some YouTube videos. Now, there are some YouTube videos that do a terrifyingly good job of turning normal conversation into the very worst of what Australians can speak like. So, yes.
I'll check them up, yeah, for fun. Thanks.
They are adult only, I'll hasten to add, because we do realise most Australians can't speak without swearing.
Actually, you know, it would be really interesting having, you know, in the ICANN meetings, seeing what they made of Australians. It would be fun.
Maureen Hilliard.
Joined.
We could be really complicated, Holly, and try and interpret from Australian to New Zealand and New Zealand back again. That'd be very complicated issues.
Nah.
come on.
I only said that because Maureen just arrived. I know.
I should say that at one point New Zealand was our state, if I could point that out.
The thing with the competition between Australian and New Zealand, of course, is we can be very, very naughty talking at each other and talking across each other and picking on each other, but don't anyone ever pick on either of us. Because like siblings...
Welcome to all those who have joined. We still have a couple of minutes to go. We may need a few more.
Sandra Hoferichter.
Joined.
Allow people to join. As I've said, welcome to all those who have joined. We're still gathering. We'll have a couple of minutes to go. And as we
joined.
Have Spanish, French, and Russian interpretation, for those wishing to do a quick audio test, please feel free
joined.
To do so. If the interpreters can't hear you properly, they will not be able to do an accurate...
Brenda?
Joined.
Welcome. We have quite a few people who are joining. Harold on the Spanish channel. Yes, thank you for greeting him. And he should be having Cinemat on the French channel. We'll need a couple of minutes as we complete the dialogue. Locate the buzzing noises.
What is that wonderful sound? It's translated as the buzzing noises. I like that.
Welcome to all those who have joined. We are all here. We still gathering and 1 minute past the top of the hour, but we still have a few dial-ups to complete.
Who do we have apologies from? I believe I saw one from Garth.
We have one from Garth and a tentative one from Leon. I've just asked for a quick update on the dial-outs, Alan. I know that we've still got a couple to do. Thank you. We still have a couple of dial-outs. We're trying to get hold of Alan. If you just stay with us for another minute, and we will, we can get started. Kylie is, we're not able to get through to Kylie at the moment, and we have a couple of other people. Sean is also a, we're not able to get hold of Sean.
Yeah, that's why I'm doing it.
So that is two OLAC members.
Joined.
Does that mean you're four ALAC members short?
Unless Leon is able to join, yes.
Do have quorum, but just barely.
Alan, yeah, I was just thinking, Alan, Cheryl here, if with that lower quorum, if you've got any votes, you need to move them up in the agenda in case people have to drop off or there's technical difficulties, that's all.
We do not have any votes today.
Alan, Maureen, Holly, Sebastian, Sandra, Vanda, Harold, Tijani, and Wafa. So we have 9 ALAC members now.
Sandra is on. She's not in on Dolby
Sandra
Connect.
What? Oh, hang on.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, Sean, we can hear you.
Okay, thanks.
Let me just get to see with Sandra, because I was sure that she'd join. That might just be.
I'm on the phone. It's Sandra speaking.
Yeah, okay,
I heard
good.
Her. Yes.
There we go. So Sean is online as well. So that should make
at this point we're missing Tim, Kylie, Jimmy, and Leon if indeed he's going to be here.
Yes. Kylie is a dial out, we're not able to get through. Jimmy and Tim, I try to ping them. Would you like to start, Alan? I've sent both Jimmy and Tim a message.
Yeah, we have 10 people and every region is represented. Let's begin.
Just bear with me for a couple of minutes. A second, sorry. We'll get the recording started now and we will officially start the interpretation as well as captioning. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to the ALAC monthly call on Tuesday the 26th of April at 2100 UTC. On today's call we have Alan Greenberg, Maureen Hilliard, Holly Raich, Sebastian Bachelet, Sandra Hoferichter, Vanda Scartazini, Harold Arkosh, Tijani Benjima, Chern Ojedeji, Wafa Damani, Julie Hammer, Maureen Hilliard, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Ron Sherwood, Candice Mendez, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Alan Skuse, Daniel Ngaka, Loris Taylor, Siranush Vardanyan, Sarah Kidden, Rinalia Abdul Rahim, Kylie Khan, Raid Mestaterio, Alberto Soto, Aziz Ilali. We have apologies noted from Mona Al-Ashkar, Garth Brun, Leon Sanchez, and Ali Al-Mashal. From staff we have Heidi Ulrich, Ariel Young, Sylvia Vivanco, Yeshim Nazlar, and myself, Keith Le Gruber. Our interpreters this evening are on the French channel, Claire and Camilla, Spanish channel, Sabrina and David, and on the Russian channel, Galina and Ekaterina. You may have noticed this evening, bottom right on the Adobe Connect, for those who have joined the Adobe Connect, that we have a live captioning pod. This is a trial for the ALAC call. We have had it in several other working groups and webinars. Hopefully everyone will find this useful. This will bring me back to reminding everyone to please state their names when speaking, not only for transcript purposes, but also for captioning purposes, as well as for interpreters, for them to be able to identify you on the other channel. And if I could please ask everyone to please speak at a reasonable speed to allow for accurate interpretation. Thank you very much, and over to you, Alan.
Thank you very much, Gisela. If we continue having attendance this good, we're going to have to start deferring having an attendance roll called out like they do in the CCW. All right, we have a pretty packed meeting today, and we also have a pretty horrible echo somewhere. If we can try to find that, I would really appreciate it. The first substantive item on our agenda, first of all, is there any changes in the agenda or any other business? Seeing no hands, hearing no voices, we'll presume it is accepted as presented, and we'll go on to the first substantive item, and that is action items. Heidi, do we have anything that needs our attention?
Alan, this is Heidi. No, we do not. The action items for Marrakesh for the ALAC are either in progress or have been completed.
Excellent. Thank you very much. The next item is policy items. Now, a number of these are included in the agenda as we go along, so we won't spend any time talking about those in depth, but Ariel, if you could do a review of open items and any new ones that have come in.
Thank you, Alan. This is Ariel Leon for the record. There's only one statement that's in progress. It's the one on the draft ICANN FY17 operating plan and budget and five-year operating plan update. Tijani drafted the first draft and published 25th of April. And we have an extremely short internal commenting period due to the public comment will close on 30th of April. So the internal commenting period will end on Thursday, 28th of April, and I invite all of you to take a look at the draft statement. I'm going to put the link in the chat. And that's the only one that's in progress. We do have two new public comments. The first one is on the draft new ICANN bylaws, and that one will close on 21st of May. And I believe people who are active in the CCWG are aware of that public comment. And then the second one that's just opened is on the proposal for Khmer script root zone label generation rules, and that will close on 28th of May, and I'm going to put the link for the public comment in the chat. And that's it.
All right, thank you. On the draft bylaws, we will be talking about that briefly under item 8. On the root zone generation rules, I don't believe we have commented on any of those to date, and I'm going to assume, unless I hear from someone, that we believe there's something that needs to be said on this one, that we will also presume there is no comment. Is there anyone who has any input on any of the policy issues that we want to discuss now? Hearing nothing, I will assume there is nothing to be brought up right now. And we go on to item number 5, review of current ALS applications. And who will handle that?
Alan, this is Heidi. I will be doing that today.
Okay.
And now Natalie has updated that, and she has informed me that there is really nothing in addition to what she's updated, noting that there are currently 198 at-large structures, with one currently being voted on, that is WZRI. That vote closes tomorrow, so we will likely be one step closer to 200. And then there are several applications pending, and Natalie has reached out to the RALO leaders when there is a regional advice being awaited, and there is also some due diligence being carried out by staff.
Thank you very much. Any comments from anyone on any of these? I know ISOC Greater Washington is there as recently certified. I don't think that's all that recent.
But. Yes, Alan. This is Heidi. I was thinking the same. That's been some time now.
But we wouldn't want that line to be empty. Any comments on this item before we go ahead? I'll note that we still have an echo. If people can make sure you're muted, and if it stays around, if staff can try to work with the DGO to figure out where it's coming from. It's quieter now, but it's still annoying. All right. Tijani, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Alan. Tijani speaking. I would like to inform you that one of those applications that are under due diligence is from one of the NGOs that came to Marrakesh, that we brought to come to Marrakesh. So it is really a fruitful program. We already have one ALF. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Any other comments? Nothing. We'll go on to item number 6. This is reports from the working groups, RALOs, liaisons, and anything from the ALAC itself. Normally, we do not spend a lot of time on this, but do any of the liaisons or working group chairs or RALO chairs have anything they want to bring to the attention of the ALAC right now? Seeing no hands, hearing no voices, I think this is the first time this has happened in a long time. Then we will go on to the next item, item number 7. We are now well ahead of schedule. Let's see if we can keep this up and end the meeting early. The first item is the Board Member Selection Process Committee report and recommendations, and I'll turn the floor over to Tijani for this.
Thank you very much, Alan. Tijani speaking. Sorry for the echo. It was me. Okay. So, as you know, I already sent the report of the BMSPC. You know, each BMSPC, normally after each selection, the BMSPC makes a report so that we know what didn't work, so that we try to correct it for the upcoming selection. This was the aim of this report, and we collected all the remarks of all people, including the chair of the BCEC, who was always with us, who attended all our calls, participated in the redaction of this report. So I will not read it again. You received it by email. It is on the wiki, but I will give you headlines only. So we made the recommendation about the replacement of the defective members of the BCEC or the BMSPC. In fact, there was a problem in the BCC, and Roberto told us that we need to put a procedure for the replacement of people who are not performing properly. And the BMSPC proposed that we choose not only 2 per region, but 3 per region, 2 members and 1 alternate, that will not enter into function if the 2 members are working normally. And but this is more important for the BCEC, because the BCEC is deciding on people who will be put on the slate. So we cannot admit that the BCEC decides with few members. This is why we propose that. And Alan brought to our attention that we are considering 1 person defective, but if there is 2, what will happen? And he said, and I agree with him, that this will be for the discretion of the BMSPC, since the BMSPC is overseeing the process and dealing with the process. But to solve the problem of 1 defective member, we propose that we choose 1 alternate together with the 2 members that we choose normally. The The second point was the starting point of the process of selection. Last year we started late. We started in the third meeting of the year. We are proposing to start it in the second meeting of the year, means meeting B. And I think we are in agreement with Alan also. He thinks the same. We need at least to have the chairs of the two committees selected in meeting B, so that the process starts at this moment. The next point was the confidentiality. As you know, there is nothing mentioned in the rules about confidentiality. And the BMSPC proposed that we set up guidelines in which we define what information will be collected, who will have access to what, means to UIs, reference letters, 360 survey, etc. And also what confidentiality agreement has to be signed. For sure it is not in the rule of procedure. We propose to put it in the in guidelines. We propose to create guidelines. Of course, the actual rules says that each of the two committees have to set up have to define their not rule of procedure, but their operating procedures and publish them. Last time, the BMSPC didn't do because we didn't have special things. I even discussed with some of the members, and we didn't have special rules to set up. We only follow the rule of procedure. And the BCEC, normally they had one, but Alan said it wasn't published. So we are proposing in the BMSPC that we define guidelines for the whole process, in which we put all things that we collect now, which are not part of the rule of procedure. One of them is the confidentiality and those points. The other point is sharing the UI of the candidate with the reference. Last time there was one candidate who was very angry because we shared his UI with the reference person he defined, he proposed. And the BMSPC proposed in this case to put in the rule of procedure that the candidate the UI should be shared with the referees, and we have to give to each candidate a copy of the rule of procedure so that he knows that it is an obligation. It must be done. Okay. The 360 evaluation. Okay. Normally, as I understood it, because last time we had a letter from Steve asking us when we think we need the 360 evaluation. And we answered the question, and I think that this information will be given on time. But they recommend that we have to include in the guidelines that the ILAC chair, under the request of the BCEC chair, sends an official request to the board chair to provide the 360 evaluation on time. Referees. The BMSPC thinks that we need to mention in the rule of procedure that one referee cannot provide more than one reference, cannot provide a reference for more than one candidate, and shouldn't, and also shouldn't participate in the 360 evaluation.
Tijani, I'm terribly sorry to interrupt you. We have a noise on the line. It is preventing us from having captioning and interpretation. please ask everyone to please mute their lines. If they're not speaking, this will avoid any interference. We now have heavy breathing and noises. We are trying to locate it. Thank you.
It sounds like someone has a wild hyena near them.
Certainly a breathing.
A very angry hyena.
Apologies for this. We're having to locate the noise before we can continue. Peggy, if you could please try and locate the noise. There's no way we can continue.
Alan, Cheryl here. Is it not possible to mute all lines excepting Tijani's? Because it sounds like someone breathing extraordinarily heavily into a microphone.
Okay, I think it's better now.
It's gone
right now. Cheryl and answer, I have no clue.
Gisela here, I believe we've located it. Thank you very much. And just a reminder to please state your names. Thank you. You may continue, Tijani.
Thank you very much, Tijani speaking. So the next point is about technology. And Roberto gave a list of technical problems faced during the 2014 selection process. And so the BMSPC has now the list, which is now on the wiki, and we recommend that this list should be those issues should be tested ahead of the selection, and we have to be sure that each time we make a selection, we check them before the selection process. Next point is about communication between candidates and at-large community. Last time there was a problem, you remember very well. Some candidates were very angry against us because the BMSPC decided that the interaction will be through the wiki and through the email list. The candidates wanted a live interaction through a teleconference. So, we changed our mind, and we made the live interaction. So, to avoid this, the BMSPC recommends that the practical procedure for communication between the at-large community and the candidates for their campaigns prior to the first round of the selection should be put or included in the guidelines. Proxy use. So there is a confusion between proxy and replacement. Proxy is only for someone who cannot participate or cannot vote, some electorate member who cannot vote for a reason. He may be in a hospital, he may be, I don't know, or he may be in the plane at this time. So he can appoint someone to vote in his place. And in this case, the BMSPC recommends that the person who is holding the proxy will vote according to the will of the person replaced. Otherwise, for the replacement, means that if you have a candidate that he is in the same time an electorate member, for sure, he doesn't have the right to vote. So the RALO will select a replacement for him. For those people, they don't direct the vote of their replacement. Since the replacement is appointed by the RALO, and the replacement will vote according to his own belief. So all these are not very very clear, and that we had problem last time. And also there is another problem for the replacement. If one candidate who is at the same time an electorate member was dropped at the first round, for example, someone asked me to recover his right of voting for the second round. And it was a tough question for me because I didn't know how to do. But fortunately, someone very kind, who is with us now, found in the rule of procedure that for the board member selection, board member election or selection, the candidate who is dropped cannot be voter or cannot participate in the vote in the, during this round of voting. Till the selection of the person who will be selected. So this was the way how we solved it, and the BMSPC is proposing here that we change, define in our guidelines clearly that the rule of procedure, not the guidelines. We precise clearly that any replacement cannot recover its right of voting, even if it is dropped at any level of the vote. This is it. Let's go to the next point with the voting methods. We had several discussion about that. Because nothing is mentioned in our rules. We are proposing today to that the voting methods be clearly specified in the rule of procedure for each step of the selection. And we propose that we do that with the help of one specialized external person who can give us the best voting methods for each step, since sometimes we are reducing the number, sometimes we are choosing between two or three, etc. It's not the same aim of the vote, so it might be different voting methods for each step. And now our rule of procedure says that even if we have in the first round one of the candidates who has more than 50% of the votes cast, he cannot be already declared winner. And we are proposing that this change. And if someone has more than 50%, he must be declared winner. How we will break our ties? This is also another issue that we faced last time. And we think that the BMSPC proposed that the tie-breaking process must be clearly defined, detailed in the rule of procedure. Because there is, for example, the rule of procedure today says that we can run a second time the vote only once for each step. If we have time, we can run it twice. Why not? For example, this is something that we have to discuss. We don't have a specific recommendation for that, but we say that this tie-breaking should be clearly detailed in the rule of procedure, so that for each selection it will be always the same. It shouldn't be each selection different from the other. Publishing the intermediate results. Here we had a request from Alan Greenberg that in the future we will, he asked to do it even last time, but I said it is not in the rules, I cannot do it. He proposed that we publish the intermediate result. Means that, for example, for the first round, we publish exactly what are the score of each candidate. And also, his proposal should be also valid for the steps of the second round. I don't have, personally, and the BMSPC didn't have a specific recommendation for that, but we have to agree on something and put it in the rule of procedure. So if we agree that we publish the intermediate result, it should be put in the rule of procedure. And I think that there is an inclination toward that. So what else? Another discussion about what we have to put in the guidelines, what we have to put in the rule of procedure. And I think that we don't have to make the rule of procedure very heavy and very detailed. Mm-hmm. We have to put anything that is not, if you want, at a certain level, we have to put it in the guidelines. But the high level, all things in a high level should be in the rule of procedure. What else? I think that's all. Proxy replacement is done, predefined guidelines established by each, yes.
Yep.
So that's it. I think I made the whole report. I know that Alan will have a comment on it, and I will stop here. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Tijani. That was very good. One or two minor corrections. Tijani and I did discuss this somewhat extensively already. One of the very small item is Tijani suggested that the rules about who can share the expression of interest and confidentiality be put in the rules of procedure. I'm suggesting that they not be put in the rules of procedure because there's no reference to expressions of interest right now, but they must be published by the BCEC, and all candidates must be aware of what the issues are. So that's certainly something that's very important. The only other item that I suggested that wasn't already covered by Tijani is currently it says the BMSPC, either the ALAC will name the chair or the BMSPC will select its own chair. I can't imagine a world where the ALAC would not want to take responsibility for putting the best person in that job and naming the chair, so I'm going to suggest that be changed as well. One small comment on what Tijani said in terms of publishing intermediate results. The first election done in 2010 did publish the intermediate results, so that was a precedent, which is why I was not necessarily giving my opinion when I said the intermediate results should be published, but in following the tradition, even though it hadn't been documented anywhere, I did think that is indeed how it should go. But other than that, I think Tijani and I are in complete agreement, and I see two hands. Tijani, do you want to comment first before we let Cheryl in, or do you want to go in the queue?
Just to say that, yes, I fully agree with the fact that the chair of the BMSPC should be appointed by the ALAC, and also we may choose a non-voting chair. There is no vote in the BMSPC, in fact. There is decision, and sometimes we cannot say it is non-voting because sometimes the chair has to take the decision because it is immediate. You cannot wait, and he can validate it a few moments later. So I agree that the chair should be chosen by the ALAC, but we cannot say it is a non-voting chair. Thank you.
I agree with that. I did suggest to Tijani that maybe it be non-voting, but he pointed out that in the real world where decisions have to be made and committees cannot always be convened, the chair does have to have discretion. Cheryl.
Thank you, Alan. Cheryl Langenor for the record. I am in support of the now slightly modified report here and the changes therein. I do want to make it very clear that as the one who nurtured and shepherded the first run-through of board member selection from the ALAC and at-large community, that I was a little surprised when some precedents, including the rules of confidentiality that we had put in place in the first round, were not followed because of the precedents. The reason that was a matter of recording. I think some of the things we had assumed might be captured in standard operational procedures simply weren't, and that's not good enough, and that's what this now fixes. I'd like to also, apart from support that the changes and recommendations here are discussed obviously and made in as short an order as possible, with as fewer changes to the rules of procedure as possible. In other words, have the high level and absolutely essential changes recommended from these report put into our rules of procedure, but have a established and published SOP or standard operational procedure for the Board Candidate Evaluation Committee, which is this BCEC thing that Tejani and the report refer to follow. Now, if we have a community agreed set of SOP, standard operational procedures, put together in advance of this next election process, I would like to suggest we consider going even one step further. And that is, we change our rules to have the BMSPC, the selection management group, which are the overseers, for the want of a better word, and that's the group that Alan and Tejani were just talking about, the chair selection from the ALAC, etc., that group maintain its role and that group does a, into the future, review of how each of these rounds go and what changes may need to be made into the standard operational procedures for the Board Candidate Evaluation Committee come from, as it does now, that group in consultation with any year's Board Candidate Evaluation Committee. But that we actually then make it simple that the future BCECs, and hopefully even the one for this next round, simply run on those published procedures. In other words, we take away the right and responsibility from the BCEC to make up its own rules going on so that we have greater predictability and certainty for all candidates and all the electorate in future years. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. I'll note we managed to use up our extra time at this point. A couple of very brief comments. For those who haven't been following this process for N years, as some of us have, the first group of the people who were involved in the first election, which Cheryl managed, by the way, or Cheryl chaired both groups, I believe, if I remember correctly, produced a huge volume of information, including their own rules and processes. If someone could try to find that echo, I would really appreciate it. But the problem was it wasn't very well organized, and the second groups that did their job several years ago were somewhat rushed and never really refined the published documents, at least not that I can find record of at this point. So I think we need to be better organized right now than we were last time around. The procedure going forward is I did already ask for some volunteers and received someone to work with me on the redrafting the rules procedure. That will be going ahead over the next few weeks, and the intent is to present the final ones in advance of Helsinki. The rules of procedure do have some details about when the rules, how amendments are ratified, and they will be published in advance of the meeting. I think there's a 21-day requirement. I'm not sure. So the intention is to redraft them over the next few weeks, pass them by the ALAC for comments, and then have them ratified in Helsinki to allow us to start the new process with the new revised rules. Tejani, go ahead.
If
cannot hear you, Tejani.
You hear me?
Now we can.
Thank you. I repeat. So thank you very much, Tejani speaking. Thank you, Cheryl, for those useful and interesting comments. I think that if the confidentiality rules that you put for the first round, since they are not an official document, you made a report, but perhaps there wasn't a formal guidelines so that it will be used in the future. Compulsory for each BMSPC, each BCEC. That's why we are proposing that we establish this kind of guidelines in which we put everything we have now. And each BCEC or BMSPC who has something else to add, they can put it in their own operating procedure. I think this is the way to make it more or less uniform from one election to the other, so that we, every time we add any comment from the BMSPC to the guidelines, so that in the next round, in the next selection, they will be taken into consideration. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I'll note that both Tijani and Cheryl have agreed to work on the new redrafting of the bylaws, so I'm sure this will be hashed out and some common ground found. Any other final comments before we go on to the next item? Hearing nothing, seeing nothing, the next item is the CCWG accountability. I was hoping Leon would be on the call, but unfortunately he isn't. Cheryl, maybe I'll ask you for a couple of...
Hello, this is Sean. Can you hear me?
Yes, Sean, we can hear you. I'll put you in the queue.
Okay, thank you.
The real issue right now, the immediate issue, is we are out for a public comment period on the bylaws. The bylaws have been reviewed somewhat exhaustively, but nevertheless, I think the ALAC has a responsibility to review the changes and try to identify anything that we feel may either not reflect the CCWG report accurately or that may reflect the report accurately, but is something which we believe is so wrong that it has to be addressed some way, one way or another. And there have been a few items like that that have been found along the way. So short of assigning it, I will be asking for a few volunteers of people who will commit to going over the laborious job, and this is a large document. We're talking hundreds of pages now. And to commit to reporting back to the ALAC relatively soon as to what they have found and if there's anything they feel warrants further discussion and perhaps comment by the ALAC. And I'll open the queue first to Cheryl if she has any comments, and then to Sean.
Good. And as along with Leon, one of the people who is putting in a still extraordinary amount of time working with the bylaws drafting committee for both the both of us are on the CCWG, the one about accountability bylaws drafting, but I'm also on the CWG, the transition bylaws drafting. I can assure you that an extreme amount of detail and discussion is going on between the subject matter leads who were believed to be in a good position to make sure to the best of our ability that the bylaws that are being drafted by the legal experts are as closely in line with the reports out of the CWG and the CCWG as possible. But as Alan did point out, it is a huge, dare I say, mammoth, not only task, but volume of legal changes that have been agreed upon. Now, to that end, I would not be able to guarantee to you that there is not an I not dotted or a T not crossed or a small thing where something's been changed in one thing and perhaps not picked up in identical language or perfectly in another. So we definitely do need a fresh eye to go through and just see if there is any oversight or error that we haven't picked up on. Remembering, of course, that as we go through the public comments for the draft bylaws, that all of these public comments will be considered and that the language will have yet another run through and filter based on those public comments before it goes through what I believe will happen, and that is to have an independent editor go through it, and that's a professional writer
who often goes through these sorts of documents and makes sure that some of the simpler errors and oversights have not been missed, because it does get to be a little bit like the forest and the trees. So what I can assure you all is that a huge amount and a best effort has been made to ensure that we have accurately as legally possible captured the intent of all of the outcomes and recommendations from both the reports, the ones of the CWG and the CCWG. However, the reports were silent on a couple of things, and so there will be what some people may find as, in inverted commas, fresh language, and I don't think that's a problem. I think that is an essential tidy-up, which allows us to make sure there are as few as humanly possible loopholes and opportunities for misinterpretation in the document. And I would also suggest that Leon and I would be more than happy, along with any of the leads of the drafting teams or subject matters, to work with community during our public comment period now, to attend any webinars and follow any discussions and answer any questions as people go through and look at it. This is a extremely important task. I am very satisfied that it's pretty damned close to as good as it's going to get, but there may be some imperfections that we need to look for. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you very much. And I note the deadline for submitting comments is the 21st of May, and that will not be extended like some public comment periods are.
Absolutely, no extension.
We have Shun and then Tijani in the queue, and I ask people to be brief to the extent that that is possible and practical. Thank you. Shun?
Okay, yeah, thank you. This is Shun. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, my first comment is in relation to the previous agenda item, actually. May I proceed?
Why don't we wait till after this discussion, we'll go back to it, Shun.
Okay. All right.
Shun, you said your first comment. I gather you don't have a second one then right now. Tijani, we'll go to you. If Shun has another item on the CCWG accountability, we'll go back to him. Tijani, go ahead.
Tijani speaking. As Alan and Cheryl said, it will be the group that Alan wants to form to do this job has the task of ensuring that the bylaw draft reflect exactly what is in the final report of the CCWG. So it is not only to read the bylaw draft, it is to read first and be sure that we have the first the final report of the CCWG in mind when reading the bylaws and compare them. So it is a really tough work in a short time. So I really encourage you to participate as much as we have people. It will be easier because we have to share the work. It is too long. It is a huge work. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Tijani. To be clear, I wasn't planning on forming a group. I'm looking for some volunteers who will take some responsibility upon themselves. And yes, we can share, divide up the work, but I am looking for volunteers. And as Tijani pointed out and implied by Cheryl, you really have to know what's in the CCWG and the CWG for those parts of the bylaws reports to be able to understand and recognize whether the bylaws are an accurate reflection of them. Any other question on the accountability? There is another item on accountability,
sure.
But I will be deferring that to another item, and that is Workstream 2. Shun, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So on the my second comment in relation to the accountability is one suggestion that you probably should split the, if it's possible to have someone look recommendation by recommendation, so that one person can perhaps volunteer to look into recommendation one or any other recommendation, just like you did during the development of the response to the last report. I just want to also ask the bylaw travel to am I right that the ICANN legal had a second look, that is the CCWG legal team were the one that held the pen, while the ICANN legal had a second look at the draft before publishing what was published? Thank you.
Let me try to answer, Cheryl. You can modify it if I'm wrong. I am assuming that both the ICANN legal team, both in-house and perhaps out external, and the CCWG legal team that has been involved in drafting are staking their professional responsibility on the fact that they are doing a good job. No one has presumed that the other group is doing their job for them. Cheryl, do you have anything to add?
Apart from the fact that, yes, you're correct, there is a professional sign-off on these documents because both of the, in fact, all three of the legal houses, if we define ICANN Legal as a legal house, have been working in close collaboration, debating and discussing word by word, literally, much of all of this documentation. They have only put forward to the subject matter lead and other experts, board members, etc., the proposed language as draft for us to discuss after they have agreed or raised some questions. So it has been a huge collaboration with all parties, community, and both in-house in terms of ICANN and outside legal experts, all working equitably and as a team.
Thank you, Cheryl. Sean, with regard to dividing the work recommendation by recommendation, I haven't heard any volunteers yet. I'm presuming you are willing to volunteer to do some work. I haven't heard a lot of other ones yet, so it may be really easy for the two of us to divide the work at this stage. I really would like one or two other people who have been involved in this process and who have not been part of the first pass, as Cheryl has, to step up to this. I will be buttonholing one or two people if they don't volunteer, but I'm not going to do that on this call. Any other further comments before we go back to the previous item for Shun's comment? Hearing nothing, seeing nothing. Shun, you have an item, something to mention with regard to the board member selection report.
Okay, thank you. This is Shun. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. Just something Tijani mentioned about the alternate, and that alternate will come in when the main is not available or not performing. I really don't know how that is going to work. I think unless the alternate will actually indeed be active and participating, is the only way when the alternate can actually be useful whenever it needs to come in. So it would be good to get an understanding of the intent of the alternate. If the intent is to have to make sure that there's somebody from the region to always be able to respond promptly, then it's just better to have me straight up, and then no need for alternate. But perhaps there's a different intent for the alternate. But I think the alternate needs to be active in the process before it can be useful in actually coming in at a short notice. Thank you.
Yeah. So thank you, Shun. Noted. I'll note, however, that the suggestion of an alternate is in place of what is right now there is nothing, and the RALO would have to initiate a process to identify someone. The intent of the alternate proposal is to have someone ready to drop in. And yes, that would be a somewhat difficult job, but the real critical issue is having a voice from the region, perhaps at a critical time in the process, such as selecting candidates. So yes, it may cause some problem, but to augment the group to have
15 people instead of 10 probably makes it unwieldy. But the drafters will consider that. Thank you. Tijani, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Alan. The intent of having the alternate is not to replace the defective member when he is not available. It is to replace him at, definitely if he is not performing properly. But because, imagine, the BCEC is handling the personal information of people. So the confidentiality is very important. We cannot make people entering and going out when they want. So we have a pool of people working. We cannot have less than a certain number to decide on the people to make or the candidate to make on the slate. It is a very important decision. So we need the whole regions represented and with two persons when possible, and I hope it will be possible all the time. That's why we propose to have an alternate. And the alternate, once he replaces one defective member, he will be member of the group and will never leave it. The one who was defective will leave it, and he will leave it at all, definitely. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to call this discussion to a close right now. There are discussions that will have to be had, but they can't be had right now. We are 10 minutes over, and the scribe doing the transcript has a hard stop on the hour. So we will have to go ahead, and we will have to make up the 10 minutes at this point. The next item is non-at-large workgroup participation. It's a very short item, and it's just some comments from me. There's a lot of work going on in ICANN right now. An example is the workgroup that will be setting the rules for new GTLD rounds or whatever mechanism is used in the future to allow new GTLDs to be applied for. In the past, the ALAC had an awful lot to say, the ALAC and at large, because it was far larger than just the ALAC, an awful lot to say about how they weren't satisfied with the last procedure. This is the opportunity to set the rules and work on helping to set the rules. And the amount of number of people we have in this group is not large. We have about 6 people, but only active ones being a very small number. And it really is important that people who care about the new GTLB process from a user perspective get involved and become active and be actually speak up and work. So it's a real serious thing. I'm not necessarily pointing to the people on the ALAC, but somehow within our regions we have to get the right people to contribute. The same is going to be true in Workstream 2 of accountability. There's a diverse number of subjects that we're going to be looking at. The people who are the formal representatives are not necessarily the experts on those subjects, and we need to get people involved. I'll add one more comment. We have several AOC affirmation of commitments reviews coming up in the next year. I have no doubt that when we solicit volunteers for that, we will get a huge number of people putting up their hand. Whether it's because these are seem to be important or because there's travel associated with them, I'm not even going to guess. But we can't have people just volunteering for the really glamorous work and not be willing to do the work on the real hard work that's going on in the background. So I would really like to somehow see more people involved. I don't know how. I'm not going to tell how to do it. I have some ideas. But if you think you know someone who is good at one of these areas, who has an interest, convince them to get involved. Thank you. The next item is the crop review team. If we could have the document up on the screen. All right. The history on this is the crop review team was put together a number of years ago when crop the pilot program on community something. I don't even remember what the R stands for. Someone remind me what crop stands for.
Regional.
Community regional outreach pilot program.
Correct. Thank you.
Thank you. we decided that we wanted an at-large group to work with the RALOs, make sure that the requests that went in met a certain level of a certain standard, to be quite blunt, and that there be a resource that the RALOs could use in submitting these requests. This is a pilot program. It still is. It probably will be continued. But there was certainly a lot of danger at the beginning that if people used this program for things that did not have good results, that it would be discontinued. And we had a significant worry about that. So we put together the crop review team, and it was made up of people from the Finance and Budget Committee, because there's obviously finance issues, and from the Outreach Subcommittee. And at that point, the members were selected by the RALOs. We presumed that everyone would use good sense, but to be honest, we never really gave anyone any guidelines, and various people went into this group with very different perspectives of what crop should be and how it should be used. And that ended up with some disagreements at various levels. Last year, changed the rules of how the people are selected and said it's the Finance and Budget Subcommittee and the Outreach and Engagement Subcommittee that selected the people. That presumed there was going to be discussions with the RALO. Sometimes that didn't happen properly. And there have been a number of issues recently where on individual crop requests there have been people who felt that decisions were not made according to some proper rules, even though there aren't any rules. I really don't believe there's a lot of benefit in going back and analyzing the past potent problems to determine whether there was a problem, in fact, or exactly what the problem is. I am suggesting that we have I'm tempted to call it a rechartering process, but in fact, there never was a charter to begin with, that will look at the process by which we select the people. I'm not expecting a significant change, but I think we need to carefully document it and make sure everyone buys in on it, and the overall guidelines under which the group will operate. I am not expecting a large document. I am looking for something that's pretty lightweight, but makes sure that we have a level playing field so everyone understands what's going on. I would like to have this drafted over the next number of weeks and optimally approve it in Helsinki. That may be a bit optimistic. And I have some suggestions as to how this group, the drafting group, be staffed. But first I'd like to open the floor up to any comments on the general concept. And again, I do not want to do a post-mortem on what problems we've had in the past, but try to make sure going forward we do it well. Cheryl.
Thank you, Alan. Cheryl Langdonor for the record. I think it's important that we codify or formalize the going to the future as to how the crop review team is populated. We did have, of course, an RALO and ALAC agreement on how we populated the original review team, and we ensured that we had members of the Finance and Budget Subcommittee and regional representation that was balanced, and I think that's one way of working at will. Obviously, the outreach activity was clear, and so we had people from both the Outreach Committee and the Finance and Budget Subcommittee, as you said, but we made sure we had regional balance. Note that it was regional balance, not RALO appointments, that we were after, and I think that's important to recognise as well.
Sure.
That was more clearly reflected when you, in your last ALAC, put forward the, rather than the ALAC making the appointments as such, the Finance and Budget Subcommittee and the Outreach Subcommittee made the appointments themselves, and that they did that, although not in perfect synchrony. And that, how that is to be done in the future probably needs to be codified, and I think that is important. I also would just want to say that, just for the record, of course, the crop review team operates with the best interests of making sure that any of the applications that go through for funding approval are in keeping with existing and now well-developed and ongoingly improved regional outreach plans. And I think that's important. That's actually something that happened between the original crop review team starting its work and what goes on today. We have a number of ways we now work that have changed over the couple of years we've operated, and that also needs to be codified so that the new people coming in the future understand exactly what their role is and what their requirements are. But of course the rules we operate on are the crop rules, and they are ICANN-wide. So it's not that we're ruleless, we do have very particular sets of rules, but we have different operational procedures that have developed over the years, and I just want to agree with the benefit of codifying them. So regions don't perhaps think that their interests are being cut out. In fact, it's all about the regions, but it's not just about the RALOs. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Tijani's next. We are getting really short on time, so I ask people to be concise. Thank you. Tijani?
Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. I thought we would not discuss the substance of the work of the crop review team. I will say only that I agree fully that we have to target the future and not speak about the past. I also agree that we have to set up a charter in which we put the mission of the crop review team, the working methods, and the compliance with the crop program guidelines. I hope that the charter will solve all the problems, and I really hope that this will be a fruitful work. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I will, given our lack of time, I will suggest by email what I'm suggesting for the group to do this work. And I will now turn the floor over to Renalia Abdul-Rahim, the at-large board member.
Thank you, Alan. How is my audio? Can you hear me?
It is beautiful.
Thank you very much. What a pleasure to be at an ALAC meeting again. So I would like to address two topics today. The first one is follow-up from ICANN 55 and the planning for ICANN 56. But before that, a quick update about the at-large review. We have identified an independent examiner for this review, and contracting has commenced. Once successful, the at-large review working party will be notified, and ICANN will make an announcement. And I expect if there are no problems, that will take place within 1 week. So moving on to follow-up from ICANN 55, the board has a tracking document where we keep track of what action items come about from meetings, and I'm keeping an eye on the things that came up during the meeting between the board and the ALAC, and I just want to give you an update on what's happening on those things. So the first item is that the ALAC proposed a review on the effectiveness of the PICS, the public interest commitment for the GAC Category 1 safeguards 1 to 8 TLD to inform the development of future new TLD safeguards. And this action has been followed up with a call involving Alan as chair of the ALAC, James Bladel as chair of the GNSO, and Thomas Schneider, chair of the GAC. Shireen Chalabi and myself participated in the call, and Shireen facilitated that, and David Olive was the staff responsible for making it happen. And there was an agreement that the board would send a letter to the chair of Competition, Consumer Trust, and Consumer Choice Review, as well as the co-chairs of GNSO New GTLD Subsequent Procedures PDP Working Group, requesting that a review of the concerns raised by the GAC and the ALAC, and to include a comprehensive review of PICS and other protection mechanisms used by registries in the completion of their work. And these chairs, all of them, have responded with a letter to the board saying that they will indeed take on these issues and considerations in the scope of their work. So I think that's a successful completion. The second item is the ALAC requested a level of predictability in funding to allow better planning on organization of the at-large General Assemblies and Summit, and suggested a submission of a white paper or proposal with multi-year budget for GAs and Summit for inclusion in ICANN's core budget and not on annual specific annual special requests. And finance has been tasked to provide guidance to the ALAC on proposal budget submission timeline and parameters, plus the evaluation process and criteria. And basically, finance is awaiting a draft of the proposal, and I know that you guys did a deep dive into the document and that that document will be submitted as a public comment within the ALAC submission by end of April. And if there are any issues or whatever it is, Xavier Calvez will come back and give you guidance on this. Yes, I see your comment, Gisela. I will try to slow down. The next item is basically gaps in ICANN mechanisms for escalating issues, and you identified three items, and the first one was Lakralo mailing list translation tool problem, and that problem existed because ICANN did not have a ticketing system for IT issues. Ashwin Rangan explained that there is now a ticketing system, and if you have issues with IT tools and it's not being picked up, please flag so that we can tell them that the ticketing system is not working. And also, Ashwin is waiting for ALAC testing and approval of the solution that they are proposing. And if you approve that solution, it will take them about 1 month to produce the tool. So please let them know whether or not what they propose works. And if it is, then they will start to produce it for you. The next item is the inflexibility in use of two travel slots allocated to the ALAC. I think that problem is being addressed by David Olive, and I know that Alan has started to assign those two seats to relevant members of the at-large community. If there is a problem with that moving forward, please let me know so that I can address that. But otherwise, I think that we will be good with that one. The next item is related to the lack of cohesiveness in ICANN processes related to the new meeting strategy, Meeting C, where Meeting C is designed to have 1 day for capacity building, onboarding, and team building, but implementation requires special budget requests instead of planned budget allocation. And during the meeting, David Olive stood up and said that there will be no budget requests required from SOs and ACs for this purpose, as training will be conducted by internal facilitators, both community members and staff with the relevant expertise for cost effectiveness. So this action is completed. The next item is a request for ICANN action on the unfilled position of Consumer Safety Director in compliance. The position was announced 18 months ago, and continued vacancy raises questions about ICANN's commitment to consumer trust. So the follow-up on this is that Alan Grogan from the Compliance Department will post the job description and send to ALAC a mail with a link to the job description and ask you if you have comments. And they're saying that they welcome comments and the job description can be amended if needed. So if you have comments, please do provide that because I think that would be invaluable for them. I checked on the jobs posting from ICANN yesterday. I have not seen this job description being posted. I expect that it should be done within the week as well, and if not, I'll follow up with him. And then the last one, as I recall, Tijani made a request that personnel be added to support the work of Joseph the Jesus and constituency travel in coordinating community travel. As far as I know, there has been a new addition to the team, but I need confirmation that to check that it is actually meant to support community travel. And I don't have that confirmation yet, but we are following up on that. So those are essentially the action items from ICANN 55, and I expect that by the Helsinki meeting, all of these items can be closed. And I'd like to move on to the planning for ICANN 56, because I think this is quite important. And I want to address two aspects of it. One is a meeting with the CEO, and the second one is a meeting with the board. And I think that the ALAC needs to send a request very soon to the CEO's office as well as to board operations requesting for time in Helsinki, because I think that if not, you may not get time. Now, in terms of meeting with the CEO, I'd like to make a concrete suggestion. I suggest that you ask for a minimum of 30 minutes, if not more, and I suggest that you prepare an agenda. And the reason that I suggest that is that you really don't want a CEO who goes off into a monologue for a long time and does not leave you time to address the issues that you care about. And the standing item on the agenda for your meeting with the CEO must be on operations. Even if you don't have operational concerns, you can just say, well, on this agenda topic, we're quite happy, and then you can move on to the substantive matters that you want to address with the CEO. But I think that this will be an improvement in moving forward. I know that Joran has a keen interest in engaging on end-user matters, so he will come with a meeting with questions for you. And if you ask for questions from him in advance so that you can prepare for that meeting with him, I think you will have a more productive meeting. Moving forward, in terms of planning a meeting with the board, as a follow-up to the conversation on consumer trust in Marrakesh, which I know there is dissatisfaction in the ALAC, I think that we can look forward to more discussion. And I know that Joran also wants to discuss the topic, but together with the board at a strategic level. So I think that we need to prepare for this. And I think that I would like to encourage you to approach the issue from a high level and to look proactively into the future and think about the question of how a transition ICANN is able to serve the needs and interests of end users and consumers, and whether or not you think it is possible to do so, and what are the challenges. Because it's likely that you will get this question. And because you are the experts from the end user side, you'll be able to lay out what the issues, considerations and concerns are. And from there, I think all the problems that we are experiencing now in terms of gaps for end user and consumers will be ported into the future with a new frame of enhanced community and with the new bylaws coming into force. So some thinking is needed and some preparation would be required for this. That's all I have, and I welcome any comments and discussion. Sorry, was that too much?
No.
Open the floor. I'll make a comment. I see Dave's hand up. I'll give it the floor to him in a moment. Joran did make a commitment to meet with the ACs and SOs. I would hope that they would – I certainly have no problem going and asking for time or demanding time, but I would hope that the reverse will be true and that we're going to be asked either how much time we want or how do we want to organize it or something like that. We shouldn't have to ask.
Yeah, but my commission is always be proactive.
I understand, but I note we should not have to ask. We will anyway. Dave, go ahead.
Thanks. This is Dave Anand. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Lovely. Thanks. Thanks, Vanali, for that. Just to give a clarification on the Lakwalo mailing list issues. So the At-Large Technology Task Force has been working extensively with ICANN's IT staff to try to document and remedy this. There's a wiki link in the that I pasted in the chat, which goes into detail of the Dong issues and the problems and the approaches to solve the problem. What has been a big problem is that there's been only one volunteer working in his spare time for the past year on this issue, and he doesn't have much spare time. And the Technology Task Force submitted a budget request, actually, for ICANN to hire a developer to fix this problem, because it should not be relying on the developer working on his own spare time to try to fix this long-standing issue. The ALAC approved and submitted it to ICANN Finance. Subsequent to that, at the Technology Task Force meeting in Marrakesh, Chris Gift introduced us to Mark Siegel, who is the is the delivery manager for community services and is now would be the point person to direct inquiries regarding the issue of the Lakwalo mailing list translation. Mm-hmm. And what is happening now is that Mark has been made aware of the bug reports being posted by the TTF, and it is now being they are now looking for an outside developer to help fix those bugs. They have not gotten to the developers yet. So hopefully once the developer has been hired, we can see some progress in fixing the bugs and to deploy.
That's it.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you. Posted on that.
Thank you, Dave. Next we have Olivier, and again I'll point out we are short of time. We have an item on the proposal for the face-to-face meetings that we have to discuss at this meeting, or we will not be able to submit it in time to meet the budget comment period. So let's try to keep this brief. Olivier, you're next.
Thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Crépin de Blanc speaking. I'm going to be very quick. Just to let you know that the GNSO is also working on its schedule, and it is going to ask Yoran Marby to join. So I would also emphasize that we need to ask for Yoran to attend the ICANN meeting, the ALAC meeting, and to ask for him to come rather than think that he's going to be going to visit everyone and do the rounds. Thanks.
Thank you. I have no doubt that Heidi has noted that, and the email is probably already sent. Anyone else? Seeing no other hands, Renalia, any final comments?
No, that's it.
And I thank you for giving us back a few minutes. Next item is the a review of ICANN 56. We are going to do a first cut at the agenda, and or at least reviewing it, and looking for input either at this meeting right now or by email in the next few days on what kind of policy issues we want to talk about. And I will note as we go through it that there will be no board ALAC interaction as such at this meeting. We have been asked to identify which sessions we want board members to attend and which board members. It goes without saying we'll probably be asking for Renalia a fair amount of the time, but we have an opportunity for other members as well, and that's something that as we go through the agenda we need to keep in mind, because certainly those invitations are going to have to be issued more than 5 minutes before the meeting. I turn it over to Gisela. Holly,
thank
I
you,
see
Alan,
your
Gisela,
excuse me, Gisela. Holly, I see your hand up. Was that for the last session or this one?
This one.
Okay, then we'll let Gisela talk. Go ahead, Dave. I see your hand is still up. I don't if it's an old one, please put it down. Gisela, it's yours.
Thank you, Alan. Gisela here. I've put up a schedule and I sent it out on the mailing list, and apologies for the delay in sending it. I've just been fine-tuning it, and thank you all for having a look at this now on the screen. I've also in the chat put the link to the ICANN 56 draft schedule page, which has all the schedules on there, the draft schedule that have been submitted, as well as the topics of interest. There is a meeting planned for the end of this week, internal again, which will discuss the topics of interest, and hopefully after that we'll be able to give you more information. What you see up on the screen there, I believe you all have Sync. You all have access to it, are the 4 days of the meeting. Right at the top, I've added just on the Sunday there will be a CCWG meeting and the usual ASCO, SG, RALO chairs meeting followed by dinner. But the meeting will start on Monday, and as we know, meeting B now has a duration of 4 days. We have two ALAC columns, they both actually have colors in them. The one is the main session, which will be held in the main room, and then we are planning on having a couple of parallel sessions. Well, I'm just briefly going to run you through what you see on the screen and then open for discussion. Again, nothing is set in stone. This will be submitted to the meetings team to be able to update the wiki page, the link that I sent you on the Adobe Connect chat. Please note that that link has not been updated, so the most recent information for ALAC is what you see on the screen, what you have in your inbox, and which I've also now attached to today's agenda. On the Saturday, we have a couple of working sessions, a working group, and the new format of the afternoons is a cross-community discussion between 3 and 6 p.m., so that's 15 to 1800. We have that on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And this Thursday, you will see that we end up with a wrap-up meeting to actually discuss how meeting B went and the new strategy. As far as the ALAC goes, we have ALAC working session. So far, we've identified 5 working group slots, as well as 1 holding slot for an ad hoc meeting that we are still yet trying to decide on whether we're having it, or, and Alan will update us later this week. And we have, at this stage, only 3 regional meetings, URALO for their General Assembly, AFRALO African Joint Meeting, and the NORALO meeting, in a way, the monthly call, but also to prepare for the next meeting, which will be held in the North American region. The schedule says it all, and open for comments, and if Alan or Heidi would like to add anything at this stage.
Yeah, thank you. This is going to be a challenging meeting in many ways. It's short, and yet there's certain things that we are going to have to carry out, and we're trying to allocate as many hours as possible for the ALAC and regional leaders to meet. We, as Gisela said, are setting aside some slots for working groups, but it's quite clear that unless the working group has something, and there's an echo again, unless the working group has something they can really deliver, and it's going to, there's significant added value for doing it in person, we are going to be very careful in which we select. It is very clear there will have to be meetings of the at-large review group, and that will be one of the ones deemed to be a working group meeting. There's also going to be a real challenge. We're expecting the external reviewer to be there and to be conducting interviews. How we're going to find the time to get the people who are already committed to many of these meetings to do these interviews is going to be an interesting challenge, but there's not a lot we can do to plan that ahead of time, other than to put together lists of people that we believe need to be interviewed, who the external reviewer may or may not choose to follow our advice, but nevertheless, I think that we have an obligation of doing our prep work on that. Those are the only real comments I have at this point, and Holly did have her hand up. It's not up anymore, and she seems to have disappeared.
Alan, Cheryl here. Holly simply wanted to make sure that the ALAC review had space as one of the working group activities in Helsinki, and you've already covered that, and in fact you covered the point that I'd raised my hand up for, which was the fact that we will also be needing to conduct interviews with the external reviewer now that there will be one contracted in advance of Helsinki. So I would suggest we probably would also want the external reviewer at the work group meeting, if not in an agenda item to brief the whole of the ALAC and at-large leadership so that they all understand the working methodology and what the plans are for the operations for the next couple of months of the external reviewer. Thanks.
There is no doubt that will be a slot or slots within the ALAC and regional leaders agenda to be discussing the review and interactions with the reviewers, and I have no doubt the reviewers will be lurking at the back of our room for a fair amount of the time anyway. Any other comments? As noted, people who believe there are policy issues or administrative issues that will have to be addressed, there are during this meeting, please put your ideas forward and send them to me and Heidi. There are some that clearly will have to be done. The bylaw review, the rules of procedure changes that we talked about will be on the agenda. We will be looking at ALS criteria. there's a host of things which simply their time has come and they will be there, but we will have we're trying to allow a fair amount of time so that there will be an opportunity for other issues, but we do want to prepare for them ahead of time. It's likely to be a very tight and packed agenda. And lastly, don't forget thinking about which board members should be present. Does anyone want to speak on the outreach and engagement activities at In Helsinki? There's a lot of discussion going on right now about whether there should be any at all. It's been pointed out that everyone is going to be on vacation. Essentially, when we're there, the vacation starts with the Midsummer's Festival, which is the weekend that we get there. It's not going to be a real busy time from a business perspective in Helsinki. We should have the city to ourselves. So it's not clear we're going to be doing any outreach, but that is still under some discussion. Anyone else have any comments? Going once, going twice. That's it. We're now officially ahead of schedule again. Thank you. Next item is the proposal for multi-year budget planning for GAs and read and at-large summits. We're not going to read the document, but if we could have it in the screen. There was a meeting a week or so ago, I think last Thursday. I think it was last Thursday. I've lost track now. That went into the document in some detail. It was a very successful meeting. There were a number of issues raised at the meeting that had been not thought of by any of the people who have been editing the document to date, and they've now been incorporated in it. So I think the document's in better shape. It does need some people reading it and making sure that you know, we haven't forgotten anything. There's no half sentences. So I do ask everyone to take their responsibility seriously and review the draft 2.0 document that has been distributed. It's attached to this agenda, among other places. It's also on the wiki. And we're going to try to finalize that. It has to be submitted by the end of the comment period on the budget, which ends this coming Saturday. I am assuming we will probably ratify after the fact, because this has been reviewed so much, and I don't believe there is any opposition within at large to doing it. So I'm not worried about it not being ratified in time, and I want to give us the maximum time to get it perfect. But that is where we sit right now. Would anyone like to discuss this? Olivier, you have been the lead on a lot of this. And do you have any comments to make on this current version? Is it getting to a point where you're feeling comfortable with it?
Yeah, thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Kassanoblos speaking. And am I feeling comfortable with it? I'm starting to get sick of it, perhaps. I'm not sure. But no, I think it's certainly through the number of iterations that it's had, it's certainly improving on each iteration and more input being brought in there. There are a couple of points which I think might have not been yet carried, although I'm not sure on this latest version whether it's there. The metrics that we collected for the previous summit, we had spoken about this, Alan, and I don't know whether they've now been included in there. That might have fell through the cracks. So that's one thing. Secondly, there is a link to the Google Doc at the end of the document in the annexes, specifically in Annex B, and I will be doing a bit of work on that Google Doc. Now that we don't have the tables in the main document and that we instead have a diagram, which I admit is much, much clearer and much, much more easy to see. It looks a bit like a musical partition with all these notes and so on. It shows a certain cycle. It shows the distribution of the general assemblies and the summits. And so the overall more detailed document is one that I have to check since I remember that you had said there were a few mistakes in the actual dates, etc. So, but that's fine. I can certainly do that in my own time. Apart from this, as I mentioned, the metrics was one. Secondly, we have to, and here this is where I'm asking everyone here, even people who have not been involved in even drafting something there, imagine that you are part of the ICANN community, you are in the GNSO, or you're in the CCNSO. Imagine you're reading this document. Will this give you a good idea of what the ALAC and the at-large committee wants to do? And are you likely to be happy with this? Because this is not a document that we're just sending to the board or to ICANN Finance. That's just part of the people that we have to convince. We have to convince the whole community, especially with the new community powers that are coming up. So I think that especially for people who haven't had a chance to read through this document yet, maybe giving it a first read like this and providing feedback and saying, look, I'm convinced by the first chapter, the second and the third, but the fourth, I think, you know, that one really reads too much like XYZ. Then I say, please bring that feedback. We still have a little bit of time to improve on this. That's really all. Just as a quick summary, we've got an executive summary at the beginning, then we've got the background of the whole story of at-large and need for general assemblies that have happened, the concept of the showcases, etc. And then after that, we base our proposal on three big pillars. The first one is the importance of face-to-face meetings. The second one is the importance of having a multi-year planning system, not only for the ALAC, but also for ICANN itself, in order to have more predictability, et cetera. And the third pillar is really this whole thing of having our cycle of the first year with no General Assembly, the year 2 to 4, where you have either one or two General Assemblies per year, with a total of 5 General Assemblies, and then in the year 5, the at-large summit. This being the ideal time to keep people involved and to keep our at-large structures updated as to what's going on in ICANN and set them on more projects. That's all for the time being. I think we probably will run out of time if we get feedback here, but that's all the points I wanted to make. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. In regards to metrics from the summit, if we can get some numbers, then we can probably include them. I have not seen any presented in this round. I will note in the annex there is still a URL missing. You'll recall in the earlier documents there was a detailed report, essentially, from the last summit, which we said we would not put in the printed document, as it were, but would simply point to. I presume that information went somewhere on the web, but I don't know where it is, and someone needs to point to it so we can find it. And lastly, we decided on the meeting last week that we want some metrics for teleconferences, and that is to give some idea of how much work ALAC and at-large does do in between meetings. There's a perception in some board members that all we do is go to meetings and then we take the rest of the time off, and I'm still waiting for that from staff also. Olivier, go ahead.
Thanks, Alan. Olivier Clapin-Leblanc speaking. You mentioned there's some perception by board members that the ALAC isn't doing any work on conference calls and so on. It's the same thing with other communities as well. I've had some GNSO counselor ask me whether we also had working groups and whether we also did intersessional work. admittedly, new GNSO counselors, but still.
Yep. What can I say? So we would like those numbers if we can get them. Anyone else have any comments? We are ahead of time now. We could actually allow someone to speak. And now no one wants to. Okay, as you read over this document, and I believe that each of you will, look in particular for arguments that are weak. If we are making a statement and when you read it, you say, that doesn't convince me, then please identify those. It may just be a wording issue. It may be that the whole point isn't a strong one. But we really need to make this a strong document. So if there are weak points in it, please identify them. If you have suggested rewording, make those too. If you want to work from a Word document, I will distribute the Word document or put it on the wiki or something. And so people can make edits with track changes if that's any easier. Otherwise, you can use the line numbers to just comment on, make a comment in email or something like that, whatever you find easiest. Maureen's only comment is she still thinks it's too long. Well, I don't know what to do. It went from 17 pages to 6, and now it's sort of crept up to 7 or so. I'm not quite sure if you can if Maureen or anyone can identify parts that you think are really not needed and don't add anything to it, then please identify those as well. Just like with the bylaws, after you've read it so many times, you stop seeing the details. Seeing no hands, final comments. We will, before we end the meeting, do a little brief survey on the captioning, on the transcript. We do have an opportunity if anyone has any other business they want to bring up or any other issues that believe we need to be focusing on within ALAC. Seeing no hands, hearing no voices, I turn the meeting over to Gisela for her survey. Oh, sorry, we have Cheryl Langdon-Orr.
Sorry, Alan. It took a while for my hand to appear. I kept pushing it. Maybe I was putting it down before it got up again. I just wanted to note, and while we're looking at the metrics to add into the document you've just been discussing on the multi-year planning, I have noticed a considerable increase in the attendees and activity in action, really, you know, the chat, et cetera, in the ALAC meetings. And what that is saying is that we have many more than just the ALAC. I remember days when we hard pushed to even get the quorum of the ALAC to actually attend the ALAC meetings. So I think that's also an outcome of the type of enthusiasm and encouragement we get at the at-large structure and regional level because of the GAs. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? And yes, it is a pleasure to see some of the number of people on this meeting. And unless it was, maybe it's not obvious. Speaking rights are not only with ALAC and liaisons. Obviously, if we run short of time, then we try to make sure ALAC members and liaisons have an opportunity to talk. But other people should be free to speak up if you have something to say as well. Gisela, it's all yours for the survey.
Alan, thank you. Gisela here. We now have, apologies that came up, a short survey with regards to the captioning. This is a pilot project, and we'd just like to get your feedback on your thoughts on the captioning for the ALAC meeting today. I'm aware that we did have a few audio issues, but I hope that the captioning and the text that you did get in the captioning pod was useful. So question number one. The captioning feature of the Adobe Connect room is part of the pilot. Please choose the suitable term. Very helpful, helpful, less relevant, not helpful. If you'd be so kind.
Gisela, sorry, Cheryl here. Some of us won't be able to cast a vote because it's unsupported content.
Cheryl, Gisela here. Thank you very much.
Gisela, it's Cheryl, it's Judith here. It's only they will send out a survey link to you that will work. We know it's in supported content. It's the pod, but the link will work just like the stream text of it will work. It's an issue with Flash. And so when the Flash, when they finally upgrade all the Adobe to non-Flash, we won't have these problems. But they are taking a long time to upload them.
If I may, I know that very well, Judith. What I'm saying is that for this survey now, some of us at this meeting won't be able to answer these questions, so there will be less than a full response. As long as we're aware of that, I don't want to put in not helpful, which is what I would do because I have unsupported content. So I am not going to answer these survey questions, so I don't bias the survey in a negative way. That was my
point. Right. No, but Shell, you can answer the survey when you get it on a link to your email.
I have no problem with the survey, Judith. I have a problem with the captioning being unsupported content. The survey is supported content.
The survey is supported?
Yes.
Let's have the discussion on Adobe Connect features some other time, please.
I'm just saying. I'm
Alan, Gisela here. Cheryl, thank you very much for your feedback. We've made note of that. Yes, we will send the survey afterwards, but for all those who are on the call and who are able to give feedback via this little survey, it would be very much appreciated.
And who have seen the captioning.
And correct. Thank you, Alan Gisela here, and who have seen the captioning. I'll go on to question number two. Please self-identify all categories that describe who you are. A person with disabilities, participant for whom English is a second language, participant who doesn't speak English, participant who has limited or low bandwidth, and the last option is none of the above.
Some days I feel like I have limited or low bandwidth. That's mental. Were you referring to mental bandwidth or electronic bandwidth?
Just to specify, seeing that Alan just asked the question, this is electronic bandwidth.
Why is one of my answers surrounded in a blue glow?
Alan Giesler here. That must just be personal to your own computer.
Okay.
And we've had it. Thank you very much for all those who have responded. We have a fair amount of responses. We shall now go on to question number three. Question number three, what benefits did you get from accessing the captioning stream? Option one, great understanding of the topics. Option two, ability to understand the session more effectively. Option three, provided the correct spelling of technical terminology. Option four, personal benefits of being appreciated. Option five, able to more fully participate and engage with the presenter. We'll give you a minute or so to complete. Thank you. Is there here? I see that we have a few votes still being casted. Thank you again for taking the time to complete this survey. I see less responses than usual.
That's because the right answer wasn't one of the options.
Keith, if I may jump in, because I put my hand up on this, but I don't understand the
question.
Yes,
please, yes.
Yes, sorry, it's Olivier speaking. I don't quite understand the question. Greater understanding of the topics, ability to understand the session more effectively. Isn't that the same thing? And, there should have been an other, because otherwise I just left it no vote, because none of the above applies to how I use the captioning.
Yeah, my answer would have been it allows me to catch up when I wasn't paying enough attention.
Which is exactly what I did.
Olivier and Alan, thank you for the feedback. This actually has been noted, and we will edit the question. We will now go on to the next question. Oh, my apologies. If others, please describe. So for those who wish to put any others, there we go. We have time to describe those. But for Olivier and Alan, we have made note of your comments. Thank you.
Diesel, on behalf of everyone, I apologize for us being difficult. This is the end of a very long day for some of us.
Alan, Diesel here. I fully agree on the end of a very long day in my time zone. I'm with you on that one.
That's right. It's about 1 o'clock or so where you are. No, it is. No, not quite that.
For Yeshim, it's 2 a.m., so I'm sure.
Yeah.
I see that we've got quite a few responses there as well. Thank you again for that. We're going to just go to the second last question. Where else do you think captioning should be required? Several options. Working groups, task forces, ad hoc groups, RALO calls, ALAC calls, cross-community working group calls, or other constituencies. We'll give you a few seconds to vote on that one. Thank you very much.
I note this one really should have had allowed you to select multiple answers, not just a single one.
Alan Diesler here. Yes. Unfortunately, the survey in the Adobe Connect doesn't allow us to select multiple answers, which is something we have also made note of. Hopefully, we'll get a general consensus on this one. The general idea of what people think, maybe not consensus idea. And last but not least, in order to speed up and to allow Alan to have a few closing comments, we have the final, which is any final comments. And what I'll do, Alan, is I'll leave this pod up. Anyone to please write any final comments in this pod. Please also note that we are happy for you to write comments in English, Spanish or French, and we will translate them. And back to you, Alan, to end the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Since I'm talking, I can't type in my final comments. So, Gisela, if you can ask me later, I'll give it to you. This has been a good meeting. We're ending a few minutes early, despite the packed agenda, despite the fact that we were quite a bit late at one point. So I thank you all for your attention. I hope this was as good a meeting for you as I believe it was, and I look forward to working with everyone on the lists and on teleconferences over the next couple of weeks. We've got a lot of work to
thank
do before
you.
Helsinki.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks,
everybody. Bye.
Thank you, everyone. The meeting has been adjourned, and the audio will now be disconnected. Thank you very much for joining today's call, and wishing you a very good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you may be. Thank you.